Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck. I'm delighted to be with you, and I'm delighted to say it's another beautiful day in my consciousness. And I'm here with my buddies. Hi, guys. Introduce yourselves.
Yes, this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton, and yes, indeed, it is another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And I am Reverend Dr. Bill Holton, and it's very definitely another beautiful, beautiful day in my consciousness, too. And as you know, Cher and I are the co-founders of an online unity ministry called the Unity Center for Universal, youuniversalprosperity.com.
We are a hybrid ministry, events-driven, and you can find more about us at ucfyp.com.
Yeah, great material there, everybody, and signed up for their Monday morning musings. There's always something good in there. It's one of my must-reads every week.
Oh,
and of course,
you.
I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you can find where I am appearing via Zoom, and of course, the organizations that are supporting me. And I'm always grateful for the churches that support me with my work. And you can also find the Absolute Word, which you hear at the end of this program. And this one is a barn burner, but I'll tell you about that later.
Good teaser.
It's a teaser. So Absolute Word, which is based on the Sunday messages appearing in the Daily Word. And here's something else that I'm just realizing people haven't thought of. They're on my website since 2014, and they're listed by date in reverse order with the word for the day. And so if a person is doing a Sunday message or is looking for a particular daily word to support them in oneness language, they can just search the archives and find one that either fits their Sunday message or something to support them in a particular area in their lives. So it's quite a resource now. Yay!
That's a great resource for people. Absolutely.
Wonderful. Thank you. All right. So I think we are ready to get romping with our premises about practices. And take it away, Cher.
All right. So we are on page 183 for those who are following along in the wonderful book, Use the Truth You Know, Unity's Principles and Premises. I'm holding it up to the camera as if you guys could see it. It's a great book and a great resource guide for really being aware of what the principles really are. And we love it. So we are on page 183. We're talking about the premise that says prayer is an activity for conditioning our minds. Optimally, prayer includes a balance of the four functions of consciousness. So here's a really good learning piece right here. Four functions of consciousness: thinking, feeling, intuiting, and sensing. Prayer is about changing ourselves because principle and law do not change. We condition our consciousness with principle and law for current and future use.
Yeah, so let me interject here. I want to remind people that Unity's five-step prayer process right in the middle includes meditation. And we did a program on meditation prior to this one. So I think this one is episode, yes, it's 2021-05. So you can go to 2021-04 where we talk about meditation. And I want to share with you all a wonderful quote from one of my co-hosts, from Cher, where she said, "Meditation aligns my human reality with my divine nature." No, she doesn't say it that way. "Meditation aligns my human nature with my divine nature." She made a face and I realized I ought to just really read well what I wrote down. I'm going to do that again. "Meditation aligns my human nature with my divine nature." It can't be more succinct than that. So kudos to that. And
thank you.
And so that is the connection between prayer and meditation. However, we do support a separate meditation practice.
Yep. And I want to say, too, the first rendition of Cher's quote that you said separates our human reality from our divine nature. That's true, too, because our human reality is that we're simply a lower vibration of our divine nature.
Yes. And it's important also to remember that our human nature cannot exist independently of our divine nature.
Exactly.
Our divine nature could.
Yep.
All right. And when we talk about prayer, we are talking about affirmative prayer.
Affirmative prayer.
And I think it's important to make that distinction. We're not talking about the beseeching, begging, weeping, crying kind of prayer, but the affirmative prayer is what Unity talks about. We go on to say, prayer makes us masters of universal principles. We claim and put a demand on what is already true, principles according to laws. It is done strongly, vehemently, exuberantly, and with conviction, which is faith.
Which is faith.
I love that. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So that kind of gives us the overview of prayer and what it is. The first quote comes from Charles Fillmore's Atom Smashing Power of the Mind in chapter 11. He says, universal principles or ideas are potential forces waiting to be set in motion through proper formative vehicles. The thinking, feeling faculty of humankind is such a vehicle.
I should say that's adapted. A lot of my quotes are adapted to add a little additional language so that they're clearer. In the original quote, Charles said, the thinking faculty of humankind. And of course, back then, that's what they believed. Today, we have to always add the feeling nature.
I like the addition too, Paul, your addition of adding the feeling nature in that too, because when you think about it, our thoughts are the current, but our feelings are the amperage.
Yes, indeed.
There's a tweet, everybody.
there's a tweet. However, there may not be people on board understanding what amperage is. And I honestly, I can't bring it up. I know what you said is true, but I can't remember what amperage is. So what is amperage? Am I putting you on the spot?
It's the energy, the power behind the thought.
The power behind the thought. There we go.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Okay, so Emily Cady says in Lessons in Truth, Chapter 6, one of the unerring truths in the universe is that there is already provided a lavish abundance of universal principles for every human want. In other words, the supply of universal principles for every good always awaits the demand. Another truth is that the demand must be made before the supply of universal principles can come forth to fill it. To recognize these two statements of truth and to affirm them are the whole secret of understanding faith or conviction based on principle.
And it's interesting. We could swap out is that there's already provided a lavish abundance of universal divine ideas. Mm-hmm. And the more I work with this material, I'm having a little issue with the word ideas, because human minds have little I ideas. And if we call those things in the capital in mind, divine ideas, then there is the tendency to think that God has a mind that has ideas, and that's not what we're talking about. And in fact, principle might be the better word, and God is the idea that contains ideas. God is the principle which contains all principles. So I'm beginning to get this sense that divine idea might be a confusing term.
Yeah.
And that's what we claim. So we claim them, we're not getting them from somewhere else. Every divine idea or every universal principle is available everywhere, including your consciousness. Mm-hmm. And so we have to put a demand on them consciously so we get a more predictable outcome of what we want.
And as we become more enlightened, now that you brought this up, which I think is brilliant, Paul, because whenever you see, and Paul shared my writings, when we refer to divine ideas, the D is capitalized and the I is capitalized, just to set it off from the small I idea, if you will. But the more enlightened, the more understanding we have, you might look at our little I as moving from 6 font to 10 font to 24 font.
Well, and as you guys know, and I think people are slowly catching on, I'm a little obsessive compulsive about this, because now I capitalize every letter of an absolute word. Mm-hmm. And that way there's no confusion and it just jumps off the page, doesn't it?
Yeah. It does. Yeah. And I think that's part of why I resonate so much with the idea of the field of infinite potential, because it's almost like there's a field of infinite potential, but each of us is a field of infinite potential.
Yes.
At the same time. And it's kind of like, this just popped in my head, a metaphor. If you're in a field with all the beautiful flowers all around you, you still have to decide and pick a flower. And that's the same thing with our infinite potential. We still have to choose where we're going to be. And I think sometimes we get overwhelmed with the amount of choices available. And so part of the goal is maybe just beginning to clarify what it is we want before we even start searching for the ideas.
It's really important. And the interesting thing is, when we're not conscious, it's an auto search.
Yes.
It's an auto search, because whenever you have a desire, whenever I'm having a desire, we are putting a demand on infinite potential. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if it's like auto incorrect sometimes. We unconsciously grab hold of the wrong divine idea. Every divine idea is correct, but maybe we're grabbing ones that we wouldn't have grabbed if we knew what they were consciously.
Right. It's almost like we have a default. If we don't do it consciously, it could be a default choice that's coming from old beliefs or old desires, and we haven't yet brought into focus our newer, more enlightened ideas.
That is a great point. That is a great point. All that stuff running in the background. So the other thing is to remember that infinite potential, it's either capital I or capital P, or every letter capitalized. Right. Mm. And of course, the potential is infinite, because there are an infinite number of principles of divine ideas, and all of them are available at the point of us. Yes. And they're available 2 blocks away too, but I don't have to go 2 blocks away to get them, because they're already right here.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just noticed something else too in this quote from Adapt a Quote from Emily Cady. She mentioned about the unerring truths, one being the abundance, lavish abundance already there that we draw from and get supply from that. But we have to make a demand on the supply. And then she goes on to say, to recognize these 2 statements of truth and to affirm them are the whole secret of understanding faith. Well, I'm thinking, well, yeah, they're the whole secret for understanding how you manifest.
Absolutely.
When you think about it.
It is. It is. And it always begins with understanding faith, because understanding faith is based on principle according to law. Duh.
Exactly.
And you know what? It's funny. I say duh now. When I read that years ago, I scratched my head.
That's the power of continuing to dig into material and letting yourself grow with it, because we see things in whole different ways as we become more enlightened or more aware or more understanding of the principles.
In the process, all 3 of us have gotten more specific.
Yes.
And it's when we're not specific, we get non-specific outcomes.
Right. And sometimes it's things happen and we think, wow, this works, but we don't know how. And so we can't replicate it. Yes. And then we say it's like magic and I must have said the sentence wrong, or I needed to stand on my head instead of my feet say it.
Yeah.
And that's where we get all the magic associated with it. And there's nothing magical about it at all.
And don't we do that as human beings? Is we want some magical formula. You guys know I've gotten into tapping in the last few months, and people are wanting to find what are the right words to use so it works. It doesn't matter the words. What matters is that you actually do the tapping because you're activating those acupuncture pressure points. It's so fascinating how we want it to be like quick, easy, and predictable in a way. But where we want the predictability is in the wrong place.
Yes.
Right? Yep. And for our listening, just know that Paul is not talking about tap dancing, but it is related.
Yes, it's emotional freedom technique. It's tapping on particular meridians. Yes. Yeah. And all right. So how are we doing time-wise, Cher?
Okay, we have time to do one quick more thing.
Okay, let's do it.
5 minutes. So let's just look at the next premise. The next premise is see only the divine, universal potential, or more traditionally, the Christ in others.
I don't think we put the last one in the first person.
Oh, we did not.
Prayer is an activity for conditioning our minds. Prayer is an activity for conditioning my mind. Prayer is an activity for conditioning my mind. So this one is see only the divine, universal potential, or more traditionally, the Christ in others. I see only the Christ in others. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that is, I mean, that's the namaste practice.
The namaste practice.
Yes.
Now, we should say also that we're not saying to ignore their humanity.
Right.
We're saying the starting point is to see the person's divinity. Mm-hmm. Just like for us, the starting point for anything is to start at by remembering our divinity. I've been doing a talk called What Now? You know, like, you know how when something happens, people say, what now? You know? And the end of the talk is, we got to switch it. Now what? Whatever's happening, now what I am comes first. Now my divinity. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I like that.
Thanks.
Cool. Okay. All right. So when we look at others and think of them as not divine, we look and think of ourselves in a similar way. We are reinforcing an error, a lie in our own consciousness. Therefore, we want to affirm and see the divine and universal potential in everyone. This is more commonly known as beholding the Christ the other person already is.
Yeah.
Or we could say the divine. That the other person
I'm really is. Preferring to say I behold the divine.
That's what and, we is.
And I'm using that when more precise would be I see the divine idea or the idea in every person. But sometimes we do have to have gentler, kinder words like divine, yeah. Right?
True. And you know, in a very real sense, when we do not recognize or see others or even ourselves as divine, then I'm going to say it, we are blaspheming.
We are blaspheming, yes.
Pure and simple.
Yes. And Cher, I'm going to ask you to start with the second quote.
Okay. So the second quote comes from Charles Fillmore, unpublished class, Releasing the Holy Spirit of God in Man. So it's number 323, lesson 3, page 8 in the Unity Archives, which everyone can now get online. If you are looking at yourself or any other individual in any way but as divine, pure universal potential, you are really lying to yourself about yourself or others.
Isn't that a great quote?
That kind of supports what you just said.
That's just what Bill said. Mm-hmm. His brilliance, right?
So I just want to say that this is really easy to practice with people that you resonate with. It is very difficult to practice with people that you have a strong, different belief system, value system with. And that's where the challenge comes.
And so the reason why that is such a big challenge is that at that point, when we're finding a challenge, is we're leading with our humanity. We're leading with our humanity. Right. And that's why we need to put our divinity first, step back into the remembrance of our divinity and do our best to see from divinity to divinity. And this is probably a good place to stop, Cher.
I think
and
so.
And I'm not sure we need to do any more with this quote. I think that pretty much wraps up premises.
Woo-hoo! Yay!
And it's so great because the daily word that I'm doing, the word was oneness. And we are celebrating because of the progress that's been made in putting forth this idea of the importance of claiming our divinity. And the affirmation that was in the daily word for this coming Sunday was, I am divine. Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
And does that not fit with what we just talked about?
Exactly.
That's perfect. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. The absolute word is based on Sunday messages appearing in the Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. January 24th, 2021, oneness, the affirmation, I am divine. Now, I did upgrade the body of the Daily Word. I may have learned about a spark of divinity within me and within all people, a divine spark binding us in one family and deepening our awareness of God. Today, my understanding of my divinity is more expansive. My divine nature is much more than a spark. It is what I truly am, while my personality is who I am. I realize I do not have to rely on anything outside myself for love, comfort, and guidance. Everything I could ever need is based on my divinity as divine ideas. They are inherent, and I express them as me. My realization of oneness includes all people. Freed from all illusion of separation, I know everyone is expressing their humanity from their divinity according to the overall quality of their consciousness. Everyone is fully divine and fully human. I am divine. Woo-hoo!
All right.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Well, this wraps up another Metaphysical Romp 2. I hope you've been enjoying this series. We'll be starting a new series with the next program. And for now, this is Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck signing off, saying goodbye, and thank you for listening. Goodbye, guys.
Bye. This is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton saying that I truly do behold the divine in each of you, and thank you for listening.
And this is Reverend Dr. Bill Holton, and we'll catch all of you divine beings on our next podcast.